Hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Little sleepy, but I should be fine.
We're just talking about that. I am so sorry.
It's fine. I had the same with Elder Barge. He's in Los Angeles, so I think I had to be up at 1 o'clock, so it's part of
What?
it. So Jay, I know you've been calling him Jalen, but Jay Michael, good to see
Hi,
you.
you too.
Yes, so my name is Namdi. I'm out here in the UK. And when I'm not doing this as a hobby, I'm a child psychotherapist during the day. So
Oh, okay.
so I treat under 21s with anxiety, depression,
Oh, wow, that's
PTSD and stuff like that.
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, but it's been great. I mean, I've spoken to almost 70 people. Lily was just my Christmas present from Lily was a 2 hour interview with her, which was great. Lovely Christmas. But it's going to be great to see and hear about Jay and see the fact that you're coming out of your mum's shadows to forge your own kind of career. But before I start, we have an international audience, and so it'll be great to know from both of you where you were born and raised, and so at least the viewers can get a picture.
Okay, Coco, I'm born and I was raised, born and raised in the Bronx, New York.
Okay.
That's where I am from.
That's where you're from.
But yeah.
Jay, I was born in New Jersey, but I was raised in Virginia. Yeah.
Okay. So Jay, where would you consider yourself being from?
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay.
Yeah.
the
All I
same
know is Virginia. Yeah.
is it the same Virginia where Teddy Riley was and
Yes.
Pharrell and Missy and Timbaland? Okay.
Yep, same place. We're
Okay.
still there. We still live in Virginia.
It's still Virginia. Was I mistaken, but I thought you moved to Vegas, Jay. Was that
Oh no, that was for college.
okay, are you finished?
Yes, no.
Okay. 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 Because I think your mom made a whole thing, almost like you were leaving for good. No, just and so
For college.
okay. So I mean, now that you've now when did you decide that you wanted to get into this career when it comes of music and singing?
I think I came to the realization when I was actually in college that this is something that I wanted to do. I've had auditions beforehand, one audition, but I feel like that's probably when the fire kind of lit up. I went on Versus with my mom and made a surprise performance with
Yeah, I
her.
saw that.
I've always kind of sung, I've always had the music bug. It was more so I just didn't want to be in the music industry until really recently.
Yeah, but then is it was there a need to be in the industry as opposed to just singing as a hobby and stuff? So what would you say would be the difference?
The difference is he didn't sing as a hobby.
Yeah.
We didn't know that he had the voice until it was a Christmas, around Christmas, and he sang a Mariah Carey song, All I Want for Christmas, and he wanted followers on TikTok, and he ended up going viral.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know he had the voice like that. I'm like, wait a minute. This really sounds good. And from that point on, he would just start singing. I would hear him singing more, but yeah, it wasn't something that he would always do.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Christmas is it this last Christmas or was a while?
Like two Christmases ago.
Two Christmases ago. So
Wow.
it's not, it hasn't been long at all.
But then were you hiding your voice from your mom, or you didn't think was it what was the case?
Not necessarily hiding it. I just wasn't as comfortable singing in front of people. So I knew I could sing. I knew, what was there. I'd sing in my room at night when nobody was awake. But I just wasn't comfortable singing in front of people. I was more so on the shy side when it came to that, at least.
But then what changed the, what changed? Because I, as I said, it is one thing to be able to sing well, but then it's another thing to face other people, the criticism, feedback, and all that stuff.
Well, for starters, you know, when I saw people was liking it and then they was following me, I was, because that's why I initially started singing. I wanted the followers on TikTok because I had got a new page and people were finding out who I was related to. So they were like, can you sing? Can you sing? So, you know, my social media side started coming out. I was like, well, if I do this, the result is probably going to be more followers. So I posted the video and I went to sleep, and on TikTok, it went crazy. Blogs started picking it up. And one of the hardest things to do is to get followers from TikTok to go to your Instagram. And in result to me getting followers on TikTok, they were coming to my Instagram. So mission accomplished.
But was this to promote your vlog channel on YouTube, or what was it really for?
Yeah, because I was just, you know, again, my social media side, so I was like, this could really help in all aspects, you know, subscribers, followers, all that. The publicity is what I wanted. So, yeah.
You're the son of one of the most famous R&B singers we've kind of said. So how much publicity is there? But was it creating your own identity, or what were you thinking about?
Yeah, I really wanted just to create my own identity, my own name. A lot of times I'm referred to as Coco Sun, or some people don't even know my name, which is, you know.
Not anymore,
but you know, before I really started stepping into the limelight, people didn't know my name, and that really aggravated me because I'm like, you keep up with my mother how many times? This lady posted me on her Instagram, I don't know how many times, and you still don't know my name. That's like, no. So I was like, I want my own identity. So I started doing stuff to really make myself stand out so people know my name.
But how was it like? Because I know I've seen some of these MTV stuff about, you know, kids getting rich, kids of celebrities and stuff trying to step out of shoes. But did you ever feel, growing up though, knowing your mom's success and career, did you ever feel like, you know, you couldn't live up to that? Or what was it like for you?
You know, I don't really think I thought about it like that. I knew who she was. I knew what she was capable of. All I knew was that whatever I ended up doing when I was older, I was going to be great, and I wanted to make a name for myself. That's something I've always, and I've even expressed that to her when I was younger, like, whatever I do in school, I want people to know me, who I am, not because of who I'm related to. So in school, you know, especially in high school, I started, you know, really dressing nice and everything like that. You know, I was known as, there were multiple Jalens at my high school. You know, everybody had their own different thing. And I wasn't known as Jalen, the son of whoever. I was known as, oh, Jalen, he's the one who can dress. That's what I was known for in school, you know, my fashion sense. So just things like that. You know, I really just wanted to make myself be an individual and not being her shadow for the rest of my life.
Yeah. And then when it came to, you know, taking the career, the singing part, then you got the subscribers on TikTok and you were actually showing, you know, your style, sense of style and fashion. Did you then think, okay, maybe I can actually start to consider recording, or how did that transition happen?
Yeah,
a TV show reached out.
Yeah, a TV show reached out for me to audition, and I made it pretty far. The reason why I didn't get to like the final stages of the show.
Huh? No, go ahead.
The reason I didn't get to like the final stages of the show was just due to some legal reasons. I wasn't able to fill out all the paperwork. So sadly, they had let me go. But that's really what I want to say ignited the fire that nobody really knew, but I knew, and I was trying to suppress it. I actually wrote not my first song, but I wrote a song behind the whole situation. And that's when I want to say I discovered that I could write, because I was like, whoa, where is this coming from? I feel like that's when the little fire ignited and I got bit by those thingamabobs.
Now, we talk about writing. I mean, Coco, when you think about you being, you know, at Jay's age, were you able to write and sing in the same way, or what was?
Oh yeah, I was writing at a young age. I always wrote songs at a young age, but the way he writes, I don't know if I could write like that. Like, he's really, really good. He could write for other people, and you know, it's like you have to have an imagination. He's very creative. And I don't think I'm that creative when it comes to writing. And so, as far as like the writing skills, like, he's on another level than I was.
But then when you're writing, do you also compose it, or do you have the sort of the story outline, but then you need somebody to help put the music to it to give it a structure?
Both.
Yeah, it's both.
Yeah, he just started creating his own music now.
Literally, like, last week.
Okay, download it.
Created a track, and I wrote to it. And a lot of times, you know, I like to write songs from music that's in my head. And I will then go to my producer, Michael Curtis, and I'm like, look, this is what I'm looking to hear. I'll send him a few audio voice memos, and I'm like, this is how I want the bass line, this is how I want, you know, my melodies and everything like that. And he brings them to life, you know, so it's more so like a joint effort when it comes to the music side. But as far as writing, it's all just really my imagination. Like, a lot of times I don't know what I'm writing about until after the fact.
What's been response when you have been on stage? I know the Verses was a little bit different because, you know, Verses, everyone will scream for anything. Have you had opportunities on your own performing where that people just see you and don't know what to expect?
Yeah, my first performance by myself was this year, actually, at a Pride Festival. And before I went on, they were chanting my name. Mm-hmm. It was crazy. And after I was done, I could tell that I left an impression on people because they were coming up asking for pictures and everything like that. I feel like I was received very well. I don't think they knew exactly what to expect.
Yeah.
But I put on a show as if I was, you know, seasoned, and I was doing this for a long time. You know, I made sure to put my best foot forward. So,
were you nervous?
I was very nervous beforehand, but I got my nerves together and I centered myself right before I went out on the stage, and I kind of blacked out. Like, when I was done, I really didn't remember anything until I watched the videos and stuff afterwards. I was like, okay, I'm glad I remember those steps. I messed up here, but you know, it was good. You know,
was your mom? Were you there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's his first show, so I definitely was going to be there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things is that during the lockdown, most of us turn to social media to entertain, and so of course we see a lot of things. And I do remember seeing the two of you together, and I was thinking a sort of strong relationship. But then I kind of reminded me of my youngest brother, who just, you know, baby of the house, and you know, he'll get the extra chicken and stuff like that. And now he's the baby of the house, and I just. Seeing the relationship between the two of you, I thought, wow, this is a really great relationship. But I said, wow, if I was related to you guys, I would be jealous of that. How, you know, it's an amazing relationship. How did it become? It's almost like you guys are friends as opposed to mom and son.
We've always been like that since he was born. I tell the story all the time. He was in his bassinet. And he looked up at me, and I looked at him, and I don't know, it was an instant connection. And since he's been a baby, we've just been like thick as thieves, you know. There have been some jealous family members. Not my oldest son. No, my oldest son, he does his own thing. But we've just always been like close.
I feel like we got closer when I actually came out as gay. I feel like we've gotten closer, and even, you know, just over the years of stuff that we've been through together, we've gotten closer just from that. There has been a lot of things that I've seen her at her lows, she's seen me at my lows, and I feel like when you see somebody at their worst, that's when you get the real authentic them, and you can really you bond over that. You know, if you can get somebody through their lowest points, like that's your forever. That's the pride of God.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned when you came out, and I do wonder within, you know, within the Black community in general, you know, we're conservative in one area, then, you know, and then in another area. Had that been a challenge for yourself, Coco, or for Jay back in the early days, or even ongoing?
It wasn't a challenge for me. It was a challenge, not when he came out, but as his mother, I've always known. So I knew before he knew. And so it was a challenge because, you know, when he's a kid, he doesn't know anything. He's just being his authentic self, and he just wants to play and just be him. So I have to, I've always had to protect and cover him, you know, to make sure that he was okay. And as he got older and, you know, he started realizing who he is and he came out, you know, I was just like, whew, it's a sigh of relief. I'm like, and I was like, you finally yeah. figured it out. Okay, well, then let's go now. Now we're going to the next level of things. And, you know, I just try to teach him and educate him about life and how it's going to be, because everybody doesn't love and accept gay. So I just had to, you know, and it's still a daily talk that we have, yeah. you know, and as long as I'm here, I'm going to always be by his side, protect him, and just school him.
And I guess sometimes it's the, I don't know if it's family or friend or cousins or friends or just community who seem to bring the most type of pressure.
It's strangers, you know, yeah. gay bashing. You have to be, you know, social media. You just have to be aware of your surroundings. And that's what I just try to teach them. It doesn't matter who it is, your family, your friends, strangers. You just have to always be aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I said, it's you know, it's one of the things that you do get where people who don't know you. So you, Jay, you were talking about when you were singing by yourself, it was not a problem. Then you put a video out now to get followers. But once you do that, you open yourself for other people's sort of opinion and criticism. Most, in your case, luckily, a lot of people appreciated what you had to offer. And I guess that's always the thing that we always, when we put ourselves out there, mm-hmm. and it's not easy to take the good and the bad. Are there things that you've learned from your mum? And, you know, she's been in the public eye since she was very young and stuff that you've seen that has helped you?
Yeah, just how hard she works, you know, she stays working. I can't really remember a time at all in my life where she has not worked. Like, she doesn't stay home for long. I want to say when quarantine hit, that was probably the longest that she has ever been home. This lady's always out on the road working. So that's one thing that I've learned and admire, you know, how hardworking she is. And 30 years in the business and she's still making an impact on people in their lives. That's amazing. And I hope that my music does the same and I can help people the way that she has helped people. So.
And I guess one of the differences is that when you guys came out, you didn't write as much of your stuff to tell your own story on the album, first album, as opposed to Jay having the opportunity to do so, to be able to express yourself and tell your own story. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you're proud of, that he's able to, I mean, not rely on others, but be able to have that gift to be able to tell his own story?
Well, it's not even about just having the gift. Times are different from when we first came out. We weren't allowed to write and produce, you know, we didn't really have a lot of say so when we first came out. So what I encourage him to do now is be who you are and don't let anyone change who you are. So yes, I want you to write more. I want you to, you can create your own music. So I push him to do everything that I was not allowed to do. So, and he's doing very well.
Yeah. I mean, one song that I heard, That's What I Need. Is that the title, or is it, It's a snippet of a track.
Oh, yeah.
Duet.
And I mean, yep.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, but did you sample something on
FWV? Yeah.
Which track?
That's what I need.
Okay.
It's off our first album.
Okay. And I was like, wow, this, you know, they don't make music like this. So I mean, that was really refreshing. I mean, and is this going to be the next single, or what's the plan for that?
I'm hoping that it's on my EP that's coming out.
Yeah, but it's not the next single.
Yeah, not the next single.
You know, one of the things when I did hear your single, I guess we've been very conditioned to hip hop. And I was just waiting for, okay, who's going to drop the rap verse in here? Just because that's what we get. And it was good that it we didn't get that. Were you ever tempted to maybe get your brother in for a remix or something like that, or on the track? Or what was, did it even cross your mind?
No, it actually didn't cross my mind. Not for this single.
Never
no.
Be. Okay.
He's on another single that's coming out pretty soon. But Never Be, I had a pretty clear idea of what I wanted it to sound like. You know, I always say, I want to bring back the real singing and the real music, you know, that real authentic music that means something. Never Be means something. You know, everything that I'm talking about on that record, you know, I wrote from a place of I'm going through it right now. Mm-hmm. So that was really the idea. You know, I just want to make music that can be relatable and people really understand the feeling.
Mm. And I wonder, the industry's changed so much where we used to, as consumers and fans, we used to value buying our CD or maxi single, and it felt like, yes, we can really invest. Now music is, in some ways for us, the consumer's free, you know, either we listen to it on a streaming service or YouTube and stuff. So I do wonder, when you're a new artist and you don't have the record labels owning you and pushing you out, what is then the sort of the vision of being a recording artist in 2022 and beyond?
It's really about self-promoting. You know, he's independent. So it's our own money that we're pushing out. Streams count, you know. And we get people to stream as much as possible, you know, but social media is a huge platform, and word of mouth is like a big thing as well. So that's the, you know, we are like working hard, hitting the pavement running, you know, and this independent thing is not a joke, but the end return is amazing.
Yeah, but then what does it, do you then think about, because you're investing in producing a track, the visuals, if you've been on video, so these are costs. Then is it, and then you know, we've got an industry that's heavily dominated by hip hop. It's almost sad for us. Do you then think, okay, you know, I'll do shows and tours and I'll recoup that way, or is it the hope that, you know, you go viral with the track? Or do you even think, you know, as long as I'm putting out my music and I'm performing, that that's where I'm happy? What?
Well, we're past the point of trying to go viral, because a lot of people know who he is. The blogs are always picking him up, and his music is doing well. You know, to get a record deal or whatever, you, at this day and time, you need to have your own following. You know, you need to pretty much come with an already made album. So that's how we're working it, and just trying to get the more music together and produced and put out. So when he does go to get a record deal, you know, they won't be like trying to break a new artist, but they're still going to be breaking a new artist.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Jay, because I know Mom's talking about, I'm trying to remember, is it dentistry? Was that?
Yes.
So is that still, you know, how do you balance the two, med school and music? I mean, there's, you know.
I'm just doing it. Do it. You know, if, I don't know, we're trying to do both. But if I have to put one on a back burner for now, that's what I do.
Well, I do like the American education system, because you can start taking classes, and then it's almost like a bank. You save them up. Most of the countries around the world, once you stop, you have to start again from scratch. So that's one benefit that, once you stop, that's it, it's gone. So I love the fact that you can, do your sophomore year, then say, okay, I'll come back and stuff like that. How about shows? Have you been now taking on, okay, let me work the shows? Like back in the day, that's how the artists had to do a lot of live shows and really get in front of the audience.
I haven't been doing a lot of shows. Like I said, my first one was in June for Pride. I feel like I need to have just a few more tracks out before I really start doing shows, just so when, people are like, okay, I want to know more about him, they're not like, okay, I can't find this one song because it's not out yet. After the EP is out and everything like that, that's when the shows...
Hopefully. We say around this time next year, he's going to be on and popping as far as performance wise. So, yeah, he's just getting started. His single hasn't even been out
for a month.
Yeah.
But then, Cuckoo, what's your role in Jay's career? I know you're his mom, but in his career wise, what's your role?
I'm his momager.
Momager. Is that like a mom stroke manager?
I'm his manager.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And being the manager, how does that affect the relationship? I mean, is it 100%, 50-50 decisions, or is it like?
I let him make some decisions. Absolutely, because he's the artist. He knows what he wants. He's, like I said, he's very creative. He's super smart. So I let him make some decisions, but things that I know and that I know best, I make the decisions, and we both trust each other. So it makes it easy.
Yeah, she's been in this industry for about 30 years. So I know, very adamant about something. I'm like, all right, I'm going to go along with you. I usually tell her, if she asks me anything and I'm like, I don't know, or I don't care. I'm like, you know what's best, so I'm just going to let you choose. And it is. Now, I know she has my best interest at heart.
Yes.
And so she's explained how publishings work and points. So she's...
All the time she's explaining different things. I'm like, okay, what's this? And she's like, all right, let me talk to you about this.
Oh, good. It is so sad that the experience that Coco, you guys had to go through, and not just you guys, the 90s, most of the acts had to go through. Like, no one tells you. Can you just imagine if you had you managing you when you were young and knowing all that, about points and royalties and writing and credits and all that?
Exactly. So everything that I didn't know when I was out and I've learned throughout the years, I teach it to my son. Everything that I feel like I should have done, I'm making sure he does.
How do you think SWV would have been if you went back to when you guys, before you went on RCA, in today's type of, where there's social media and stuff? Do you think you guys might have said, let's just go our independent route, or would you still think for what you guys had to go and being labeled?
I'm not against being on a label. I love being on a label because having that big machine behind you is always a plus, always. We, Jay and I have just not attempted to go to a label yet, but that's my next thing, just going to get him a deal.
Yeah. One of the things, another video I saw was when you had the, is it thumb challenge? I don't remember
that. Oh, you're going way back.
Yeah. But what was interesting, because one of the things that Coco was famous for was having nails that almost were as long as a you had these massive nails for most of us, I'd never seen nails like that before. So it looked, it looked as if, I could even do this with one pinky finger.
Yeah, they were really long.
Yeah, have you seen pictures or videos of them? Your mom's...
Oh yeah, I actually saw them. She has when she cut her nails off, she has them in like this little pouch that she kept. So I saw them when we were cleaning out the garage.
Oh goodness gracious! Yeah, so those, I mean, it was interesting seeing the challenge and just seeing how easy it was. It seemed to be able to do that, but then. You know, I mean, are we going to expect to see, you know, because I did see some videos where SWA performing, and I think was that the Friends Festival or Essence? Where?
Oh yeah, Love is a Friends, yeah.
How was that? Because, you know, I spoke to Donnell, he said it was one of the amazing, seeing over 60 artists from everywhere. It was, you know, have you been onto a concert, a festival like that before, an R&B?
Oh yeah, we've been on festivals like that before.
Oh, just strictly R&B and 90s?
Yeah, we've done so many festivals in our lifetime. It was just really, really hot out there. It was super duper hot. It was wow. But it was a great experience.
So this year, you know, you guys are doing your 30 years and stuff. Oh, is there anything that we can expect from yourself and the girls?
Well, we're working on another reality show. It should be out in March of 2023. It's SWV and Escape, and it'll be out on Bravo TV. But we're working on the SWV biopic. That's next. Wow. We're supposed to be working on that. And I'm going on a tour for our 30th year.
Wow. Are you coming to the UK?
Hope so. We want to come back so bad. We were supposed to come back this year, but something happened with the dates kept getting changed. So we are definitely hoping to come back to the UK because we love it out there.
Yeah. You know, that's something that, you know, we haven't seen. I mean, unfortunately for us, we don't get to see any of you guys. You know, we see Keith Sweat in every city in the country. We see everyone in it. Here, we just, all we can do is watch clips on YouTube. Right. It is one of the sad things. I tend to always ask my guests before, by the time I end, is that if, and I'll start with Jay, then with Coco, if you were stuck on an elevator and it was going to be 2 or 3 hours before they get you out and you had a chance to watch a movie, what movie would you want to watch?
Oh, I don't watch movies. So I don't even know. Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Do you have a favorite movie? I mean, ideally, it's when somebody says their favorite movie.
I don't even have a favorite movie. Like, I'm not a movie watcher.
All he watches is YouTube.
Yeah, I'm more of a YouTuber. I don't really like movies like that.
Wow. Okay. It's interesting. What about yourself, Coco?
Well, I am claustrophobic. So
okay, forget the elevator then. Just
I
the movie.
Get stuck in the elevator. I'm dying. But if I have to choose a movie, my favorite movie of all time is Love and Basketball.
Okay. Okay. And then what about favorite song, Jay? What's your by any artist, just a favorite song that's, you know, it's your...
I'm gonna have to go back to the 90s and say I Like My God.
Okay. You know, I interviewed Timmy Gatlin, who actually wrote it, and he, I mean it's
I kind of schooled Jalen on Timmy Gatlin because, you know, the first CD you see his picture, but then you won't ever see him again.
And so
I think I saw your interview because I've always wondered what happened to Timmy. I never knew. He just disappeared. So to hear the story of how, you know, he was asked to leave and things of that nature, I'm like, wow, who, like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm 50 something years old and I'm like, I'm just now finding out, like, what happened to Timmy.
Yeah, it was hard to hear that, you know, and that's I mean, you have no idea what it's like being an artist today.
Yeah.
To back then, where, you know, a manager comes in and says you're out the group and stuff, the group that you formed. So yeah.
And you hear his voice on all of those records.
Yeah.
He wrote so many of those hits, and people don't even know that he really wrote those hits. So
yeah, and he's still the only one that's his publisher. So he left the group, but he left with his publisher. So when you listen to I Like, he's getting paid.
I'm not mad.
He's getting paid. But then what about you, Coco? Your favorite song? Just any?
I have a favorite song, but for me, I love, I really love Keith Sweat, and I still listen to his music like it just came out yesterday. And I always say, if I get married again, I really need him to sing at my wedding. That's walking down that aisle. I need Keith Sweat to bust out something for me. Yes.
But what's, I mean, yeah, well, at least one of, which one of his songs?
Oh, gosh. What is the song? He has some, I don't know the titles of, there's a right and a wrong way to love somebody.
Yeah, right and wrong way. You know, Tammy Lucas sang the background.
Yeah, and if I get married again, as I'm walking down, I'll be like, I would never do anything to hurt you. You know, that's, I'll give my love to you. If you need me, baby, I'll come running to you. I love that song.
Yeah. So my top three albums are Make It Last Forever by Keith Sweat, the Bobby album, and the Guy album. So, but I love that Make It.
Time and Music.
Yeah, that's Make It. Yeah, have you listened to Keith Sweat's first album?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Have you listened to it? Keith Sweat? You haven't?
No.
He's slipping.
I mean, it was recorded in Teddy's house in the projects, but it is.
And it's so funny because I'm from New York, and my sister lived in the same projects as Teddy. And I would always try to go down there and see if I saw him. I never saw him, though. Okay. I was a kid. But yeah, I was like, oh, I need to find this guy. Because I think
yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, what's about Keith, though? Because he's, you know, I mean, people used to say, oh, he's always begging and whining. But as a female,
begging, but Keith had those hits. If you listen to the words, the emotions in his song, and they just, I was in high school when Keith Sweat came out. So we were always just listening to Keith Sweat in high school. And my mother, who is just like religious to the bone, loved and still loves Keith Sweat. So he, you know, while my mother did not listen to R&B, when she heard Keith Sweat, it was something about Keith Sweat that she loved. Like, and she loved Keith Sweat so much that he thought Keith Sweat was his grandfather. Grandma, is that your boyfriend? And so, like, one time we had a show together with Keith Sweat, and he came. I brought him in the room because my mother was there, and he yells at Grandma, there goes your boyfriend. Oh. And my mother was so mad. But, you know, Keith Sweat was really big in my household, and I just love him. People may not think that he has the best vocals, but to me, the way he sounded then, he still sounds the same. He sings live, and he puts on an amazing show.
I you know, one of the things I noticed is that he seems to be on every tour. He just seems to work continuously.
Nonstop. Yes.
He was supposed to come on a year and a half ago, but then, but he's rescheduling soon. But I can't wait to find that out. The other thing I remember, and I don't, it was Janet Jackson retweeting you singing Funny Enough.
I'm like, and it was an old video, but when I saw her tweet it, she tweeted, I was like, wait a minute. This is really her? She's like, I love when Coco sings my songs. I was like, oh, shoot. You could not tell me anything for that week. I was like, Janet Jackson, she posted me, so leave me alone.
Yeah, but you know what the thing is? Because I remember seeing just that clip, but then I recently saw the whole thing, and I said, wow, we don't get you doing that, just being out living and just throwing. It was the most creative thing I'd seen and heard. I'm thinking, wow, you know, it's stuff like Lauryn Hill would normally do, get a guitar and just start talking and singing. Yeah. I'm thinking, why did, I didn't realize you had that in you, because we know you vocally you're one of the best out there, but type of thing, you know.
I do it. I do it lately a lot with Jalen, and you know, but I do it. I'm not always, I don't know, I don't always feel comfortable letting everybody see it, but I do it, and I have a lot of videos of me doing things like that.
Now, see, Jay,
Jay and I are going to do one soon.
Yeah.
And we're going to do Atlantic Star.
Oh, which one?
I Will Love You So For All.
Secret Lovers, huh?
No, we ain't doing no Secret Lovers.
No, okay. And Always.
Yeah, always. Jalen has no idea who Atlantic Star is, so I had to send him the song. I said, I need you to learn this song, and we're going to do it. We're going to switch it up and make it more so about a mother and son bond than lovers. So, yeah, we're working on that next. That we're gonna do it and put it out on video.
Yeah, I mean, but because, you know, Jay talked about how he just said, well, I'll just put it out there. I know his motive was to get followers, but it was that sense of being adventurous and putting yourself out there. And I said, I think when I saw that, and even though it might have been, you know, some 5 or 6 years ago, did you know what you were going to sing, or did you just come up with them as you were going on? But or did you already have the three songs that you sort of performed? You had Tommy Hilfiger, The Time Goes. You had, I think you had an SWV track. I can't remember.
It was a mashup. I did.
Yeah. Jay, you remember what I'm talking about now?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Did you know that what you were going to perform, those three tracks, or did you just, as you were just sitting down, just like, oh, let's go to the next one?
Oh, when I did my show?
Oh, no, I was talking about when your mom was singing.
Well, that wasn't Jay in the video.
No, I know. I think it was his dad.
Well, you know, with the song, the SWV song, it sounds so much, it reminded me so much of the Janet Jackson song. So I was like, let me mash this up and see how it goes and how it sounds. And when I did it, it really sounded good. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a video and just see how it goes.
Okay.
And that's how I did it, because they were so similar to me.
Okay, wasn't it? You were just like, you just went from that and just went to next up. You already knew ahead of time that you were going to do it.
Not ahead of time. I've been singing it, and I was like, doesn't it sound like funny? And so then I tried it, and I said, oh, it goes together. Okay. And so that's when my ex-husband at the time, he started doing the beat, and I just
sang. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does your dad think about your singing?
I'm pretty sure he is very proud of me. Yes.
Did you ever take the instruments? Because I know he plays the drums, but did you ever get into playing an instrument?
Yeah, I took piano lessons for about a year.
Okay.
Longer than a year.
Oh, okay. Well, 2 years. And I picked up the piano not so long ago, and I tried to see if I still had it. And I did. It's a little harder to play because my nails are kind of long. But yeah, you know, I feel like once you pick something like that up, you don't forget it. You don't forget what you learned. So, you know, I know my scales, a little bit of my scales still. And I still learned the first song that I learned how to play, which was Summer Week. So, yeah, you know, I feel like that can ever be ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, but would you then think about ever incorporating it in a live performance? I'm not talking about next year, but you know, down the road, or would you think now?
Bust out the piano and sing a song while playing or something dope like that. You know, I think that'd be cool.
How do you get when you're performing? I mean, and I think that's one of the things that, you know, the greats are able to do. Like, think about someone like Mary J, who, it almost seems as if when she's singing, it's, you know, she's tapping into some hurt of you know, when she was 2 years old, she can bring that kind of hurt out in a song, and you feel it. Have you started to learn, because vocally you can be great, but then learning to be able to convey the song so that people can feel that it's the emotions in there. Is that stuff that your mom is teaching you, or stuff that, how do you think you're connecting, learning to become that kind of performer?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I do my homework. Mm-hmm. I don't just you know, make music and go out on the stage and just do what I do. I study, you know, I can probably watch every Beyonce video there is. I watch Usher, you know, and I love to watch their techniques and their breathing techniques and how they can, you know, capture a crowd's whole, everything, you know. I think it's amazing how they, you know, step up on a stage and they can make somebody pass out. Like, that's cool to me. So I do my homework, and I don't stop, you know. I will stay up all night watching a Beyonce concert or an Usher concert if I have to, if that means that that's going to make me great at what I do, you know. I like to sing, and I feel like I can always get better. So doing your homework is what's going to make you get better.
When you think, you mentioned Usher and Beyonce, probably even Chris Brown, and you know, and I don't know if you ever seen videos of when Bobby Brown came out. Bobby Brown, you know, people talk, you know, if you think of Chris Brown and Usher and Beyonce, if you put them together, the three of them together, that's how Bobby Brown was when he was at his heyday. I mean, watch him on Arsenio Hall, just watch him. He was doing stuff that people can't even do now. And I wonder, do you then think, okay, what type of singer am I going to be? Because if you think of SWV, they were vocally great. But then compared to like Luther Vandross, you know, he stood there, he sang, he was like, you know, everyone fall down, but he wasn't a performer. Have you thought about, okay, do I need to bring in the performance or do I just focus on the vocals?
We're doing both.
Both, yeah.
Oh, you want to be dancing and, okay, I guess you can.
What people don't know is Jay can dance.
Okay.
I put Jay in dancing class at a young age because he was always dancing around the house. So he was so advanced in dance class. You know, the teacher would be like, you know, there's really nothing I can teach him because he's so advanced. So they tried to find like, put him in the dance class with the bigger kids, but he was a natural born dancer. Wow. So his first show he did this past, when was it?
June.
In June, he choreographed his own set. And I'm like, they're dancing. They're touching the ground, going back, going forth. I mean, like, and I told him before he did it, I'm like, go watch Usher. See how Usher paces himself. You do not hear Usher breathe in that microphone when he sings. And Usher is singing live. Just go watch him. Watch how he paces himself. Chris Brown as well. Just watch these guys. You don't hear them breathing in this microphone. I don't want to hear your breath in this microphone. So he went, he watched, and he's doing really good as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, he's a dancer for real. And that's the part that's like shocking for everybody.
Are we going to see that in I guess Never Be might be a little too slow.
Yeah, Never Be is slow, but the second single is going to be like a performance video. So you'll get to see him dance.
Okay. But then again, Usher would dance and even You Remind Me or Confessions. He would dance and everything. So like singing in the rain kind of thing, you know, slow, you could do it.
It's amazing. Like, and that's what I said. I think you can dance in Never Be.
I have an idea about Never Be. So it's just... me trying to get it to come live.
We haven't got, so you guys haven't started with the video yet. No, the concept.
No, we're to the video directors now. Yeah.
Wow. Is it exciting, Coco, just being on this side of the fence, or is it nerve wracking, or what's it like?
It's exciting for me because I've always wanted to be in the background. You know, I've wanted to do more things in the background. So what better way to be in the background than with your kid? So it's exciting for me, you know, because eventually I would just love to fade into the back and just push him and support him and let's just take it to the top.
Jay, what do you think about your mom's voice? How would you describe your mom's voice?
She has a very unique voice. It's very standout-ish. It's very, very unique. Even like back in the 90s, like who you know was sounding like her? She had the girls trying to sing it like her. So it's very unique. I love her voice. And
so it sound like a bird?
No. I take you know, my certain singing styles from her, like the way her pronunciations for some words. I do look up to her vocal wise. for sure. So I love it.
And the reason I asked that, because a lot of the, unfortunately, there's a lot of similarities between, with a lot of the female singers today. They sing in a certain high pitch, which you can barely hear the lyrics of what they're singing, and the same type of tone. And yes, there was very much of a distinction in the 90s. So if I heard Changing Faces or SWV or Total, I knew they didn't need to introduce, you could tell the different distinction.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with the auto-tune, because auto-tune to me just makes everyone sound the same. It depends on how much you put on it. So to everybody, a lot of people sound the same. The songs sound the same. Yeah. So you really don't know who is who. And like you said, in the 90s, it was a lot of us, but you knew who was who.
Yeah.
So music has changed. The techniques have changed.
But then how does that work, Jay, in your favor or at your disadvantage, knowing that? I mean, do you have to then?
Yeah, we don't use auto-tune.
You know, not to the point where his voice has just changed and he just sounds like someone else, you know? And he has his own distinction, so we want to keep it like that. I'm very, very anal when it comes to that.
Yeah, because as I said, you know, I think, you know, Kanye might be credited with helping hip-hop artists start to feel like they can sing, because mm-hmm. now they've taken over that. And then, but also it's what's going to be important to us, hopefully, that the content of your songs are edifying and encouraging, you know, because they're easier ways to get yourself popular, you know, singing songs that may go viral, but I don't know how much, yeah, how encouraging they may be and stuff. I know Never Be seems like a breakup song, or is it a sense of, you know what, I've put up with that mess and that's it.
It's like a breakup song. I like to say a song that encourages power. It's like I'm taking my power back from me. You know, like I said, I was in a situation where I let somebody manipulate and lie to me. And I finally said, you know what? I'm not gonna take this no more. So me and you, we can't be what we used to be. You can try to come back all you want, but it's not gonna be the same.
Breakup songs, I mean, Tony had one called Ex-Girlfriend. And yeah, I played that quite a bit when I was in college. Even No More by Ruffin. So having something like that. But what, you know, finally, what would be the theme of the EP? What should we expect? I mean, is there a theme to it, or is it just hit different songs and piecing it together?
You know, I really haven't thought about it. I know the songs that I want to be on the EP. I know that the way I have the song selection wired, there is a story that is told. So no set theme yet. I gotta think about that. That is a good question.
No, I'm sorry. I think I'm so used to, you know, yeah, people having a sort of a, okay, this is going to be a heart breakup stuff, and then new love, and then I'm happy about that. And
it's some of all of that. Yeah. It's some of all of that on there.
Okay. Just as we go, Jay, if you could give me your top five favorite SWV tracks, what would they be?
Give It to Me. You Are My Love. I like that one a lot. I got something.
About Time?
Oh, I don't know if you like that. Where is it? Okay. Coming Home. Mm-hmm. Love Is So Amazing. Mm-hmm. That's four. And Love Like This.
Okay. Yeah. I'm glad you didn't pick any of the mainstream ones and stuff, which is good. I think sometimes they can be fan favorite, but maybe not. Yeah, I mean, Coco, if you think about it, would you hit, would you then sell your weak and brain and I'm sorry to you, would that be your five, or what would you your five?
None of my five are single. Well, I'm So Into You is one. When You Cry, You Are My Love. That's What I Need. And Fine Time. I really like
the Fine Time
as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and as I said, it's and it's pity the ice. You don't get to do those. Do you do them on shows or?
No, not really. No, I would love to, but you know, yeah.
It's my favorite. Always would be the I grew up a massive Teddy Riley fan. I mean, that's how I got into my music. So when he did the remix for "I'm So Into You," you know, the one with Rex and Akil. Check one, check two. Oh goodness, I still play it out, you know, all the time. I love that one. But you know, it's been great. Would you consider singing a cover of any of the SWV songs, Jay? As your show, in your show, I mean, as I said,
I just want him to be himself.
Probably not.
okay. He was going to say yes, and mom manager said no.
I'm not going to let him. Not right now, anyway.
Yeah. Just finally, Sprague, Doogie Love. Okay. Yes. When I was telling him to pick, you know, as an engineer, who are the ones who's really, he said Eric Benet, and he said Coco, you know, that you know. And I wondered, what was it like when you were doing that to your first album? Because you made a last impression on a lot of the producers and engineers.
I had no idea. I was just a young kid singing, using what God gave me. I had no idea what it was that people heard. They were talking to me about my tone. I don't know what the heck they were talking about. I was just singing, but to know that I've made lasting impressions on people, it just makes me feel good. It's a blessing. And I still see Sprague because he's in Virginia like me.
Oh, yeah, yes. Would we ever see a new album? Because Hot Cocoa was a really beautiful album, but it came out when hip hop just took, you know, it was R&B and hip hop. So Jay, back in the day, it used to be called R&B. Then they added hip hop to the end. And then by the end of 90, it became hip hop and R&B. And then it became the R&B charts, the hip hop charts. And then adult contemporary took over. They threw R&B to adult contemporary. Would you ever,
I think you have to catch me on a good day. Some days I say yes, some days I say no. But like I said, I want to play more of the background, just do more behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, this, you've seen how I won't say easy it is, but the work you're doing in helping Jay come up with his creative career and how it's a little bit more accessible to record. And put stuff out.
I'm gonna do and put out, you know. But as far as the whole album, I'm not thinking that far.
Yeah, I don't think many people dig albums. I mean, as you know,
I have a single that I'm gonna release and it's gonna be cute.
Yeah, because I mean, Beyonce just put out a new album, but I don't know how many people would go as we back in the day and buy the albums. So, you know,
everybody's not Beyonce. We can't all do what Beyonce does. So let's not, like, we can't even compare it to that. Yeah. But as far as like everyone else, you know, as far as like me, I'm gonna speak for myself. I don't have the patience to get in the studio and do a whole album.
Yeah, no, I mean, a single here, the feature.
Yeah, single. And I have a single that I want to release. So I'm going to record it and release it.
Yes. Well, guys, it is about 1 a.m. here in the morning. Yeah. Right. Do you have a flower business or something? I remember this over this IG, you should see you with flowers.
Oh, I don't have a flower. It's a plant. I'm a plant lover. I'm a plant mom. I just have a lot of plants.
Okay. He plants and any little dog and stuff.
Yes, three dogs, two Yorkies and a Yorkie poo.
Any pets, Jay?
The Yorkie poo. The Yorkie poo is his.
Yeah, the Yorkie poo is mine.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, I've gone through everything, put the list out, and we've kind of covered all the things. And you know, it's been really good to chat with you. Yeah, I wish you luck, Jay. I know it's you know, it's exciting. I know it's it can be a tough market out there. We don't have Video Soul and Donnie Simpson and all these great
social media. So
yeah, but it's, you know, to really get this stuff in. But I you know, we're definitely going to be rooting for you and stuff. And I think, you know, as your mom would always say, if, you know, having your own identity and staying in your own lane, and even if it seems as if it's not moving as quickly, but being consistent, and then you start to see it steamroll and stuff. And so that's really gonna be important, you know, because it can only be one of you, and you can only be the best of you. Because if we look at others as role models, yes, we can see Osha and Chris, but they are where they are because they stayed in their own lane. And so I definitely look forward to seeing bigger and better things from you going forward.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Well, right. Have a good one.
You too. Get some sleep.
Will do. Take all right, care.
Bye.
Bye. Hey everyone, I want to thank you for being part of Halftime Chats. This new update is really about our membership, and I'm really excited to be able to fully launch the membership page. There will be things like full interviews from day one. As soon as the interview drops, you get access to it without any ads on it. There'll be some exclusive member-only videos that will just be some behind-the-scenes stuff and some other things that we will never be broadcast. For some members, you can be able to get actually two interviews, because I do have a backlog of almost seven or eight interviews that I don't even know when I'm going to be able to broadcast them. So you're able to get at least some of those up front, and some just behind the scenes stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that goes behind the scenes that I have never been able to talk about or release. For anyone else, you know what, the videos will still be the same. Over a week or a week and a half or 2 weeks, depending on how long it is. So everything stays the same. The polls stay the same. The community chats, the community stuff stays the same. But I think with the membership stuff, I'm able to add a little bit more and invest a lot more time and energy in really supporting the members. So I do hope you come on that ride with me. I appreciate the support, and this will just help me continue to invest in taking things to the next level. Take care.